the last phrase, Bechol Zot, Lo Shav Arpo, despite all of this, God's anger has not been turned back. Va'od Yadon Etuyan, his hand is still outstretched. We have had this refrain. We've had this refrain two times before. We had it at the end of Pasuk 11, Yud Aleph, in chapter 9. Bechol Zot Lo Shav Arpo Va'od Yadon Netuyah. We had it also at the end of Pasuk 16, Ted Zayin Bechol Zot Lo Shav Arpo Va'od Yadon Netuyah. That means we have this refrain three times in chapter 9, and we're going to have it for the fourth time in chapter 10, the end of Pasuk 4. Again, Bechol Zot Lo Shav Arpo Va'od Yadon Netuyah, which is clearly an indication that these four times that the refrain is said represents all one unit. In other words, there are different stages in this unit. What is the unit talking about? It's and where does it begin in chapter 9? In chapter 9, it begins with Pasuk 7. There is something that God has sent against Yaakov and has fallen in Israel. From that pasuk on and further, what he is going to be describing until the end of pasuk 4 in chapter 10. The punishment that's going to befall Adam and that which is going to befall the 10 tribes. We go back to chapter 7. It was Ritzin, king of Adam, and Pekach ben Ramayahu, king of Israel, who wanted to conquer Yehuda and take over the throne of the house of David. And the Navi Yeshayahu gets upset, says, don't worry about Shnei Zanvot Ha'udim Ha'ashenim Ha'ela. It's not me. Don't be concerned about these two smoking firebrands, because the end is that they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be removed from the stage of history. The removal from the stage of history is described in four steps. Each step ends with God is going to bring punishment, and the first step is that. Of course, that Aram is going to be destroyed, and then punishment after punishment is going to come upon the ten tribes. And therefore, I'm looking now at Pasuk 7, just a quick review. Pasuk 7 in chapter 9, Dovar Shalach Hashem B'Yakov, V'Nafal B'Yisrael. There's going to be destruction. Pasuk 9. How does Israel respond? Levanim nafalu, bricks have fallen, but because it nivne, we're going to rebuild with hewn stones. Shikmin gudo, sycamores have been cut down, but va'arazim nachalif, we're going to put up cedars. In other words, they don't take the losses that they have suffered as an indication that they should do tshuva, but the losses we will overcome. We're going to rebuild. And then it says that God is going to be mighty over the... He's going to bring mighty oppressors over Ritzin. Aram is going to be destroyed. All right, that's step one. But with the destruction of Aram, it's still not enough. Bechol zot lo shava po v'od yadon etuyah at the end of Pasuk 11. And Vaha'am, but Klal Yisrael has not taken the historic events as a sign from heaven that they should do tshuva. So therefore, you know what's going to happen now in Pasuk 13? In Pasuk 13, chapter 9, it says, now God is going to turn to Israel. And do you know who's going to be punished first? The first ones to be punished are the leadership, because the leadership have led them astray. And therefore, Vayachret Hashem Yisrael, God has cut out from Israel Rosh, the son of the head, and the tail. Kippah, the top of the tree, Va'agmon, and the little grass that grows on the bottom. Zakein unesupanim, right? Why? Because in Pasuk 15 it says, Ma'ashrei ha'am hazeh matim, the ones that should lead the people in the proper path, matim, they cause them to stray. They cause them to stray. Leadership simply did not lead. Alright? So therefore, the first blow is going to go against the leadership of the Jewish people. Israel, Yisrael, 10 tribes. B'chol zot lo shav apova, yodon etuya. Alright? But that's not the end. God's anger is still not turned back, and his hand is still out. Reaches out. Because punishment has to come on the masses of Israel. And you know what their punishment is going to be? Their punishment is going to be that they are going to be overwhelmed by inner strife. They are going to be at each other's necks. Ish, Pasuk 18, Ish el Echov, Ochiv lo yachmolu. You see the end of Pasuk 18? Ish el Echov lo yachmolu. Oy, do I understand this Pasuk better now after yesterday's shir? In yesterday's shir, we brought the Malbim who differentiates between the word chemla. It was at the very end of the shir, I think we said it. Didn't I? I did it, sure. The Malbim differentiates. It says Hashem tells Shaul, lo tachmol, don't have pity on Agag. Don't have pity on Amalek. And then it says later, vayachmol Shaul v'ha'am. Shaul and the people had pity on Agag and the finest of their cattle. So the Malbim there says, and he says it a number of places in Tanakh, that there's a difference between three words. The word mercy, pity, or compassion, there's also the word rachamim. Isn't that the word that's most often used? Or chus v'rachim aleinu, lo tachos einecha. So why didn't Hashem tell Shaul, or why didn't Shmuel tell Shaul in the name of God when he sends him off to destroy Amalek, why doesn't he say lo terachem aleihem? Why doesn't he say lo tachos aleihem? Why does he say lo tachmol? So the Malbim differentiates and says the following. He says the word rachamim can only apply to the feelings of one human being for a fellow human being. The word rachamim, wherever it appears in Tanakh, describes the feelings that one human being has to another, that he simply is incapable of seeing the loss of a fellow human being, or can't see the tzaddas that he's suffering. We can't take it. It's very difficult. The word chemla and chusa can be used not only with regard to people, but with regard to objects as well. Very often the Gemara says in certain halachas, Chos HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mimonam Shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chas, he's concerned about Jewish money, doesn't want Jewish money to go to waste. You can't say that a person is merachim on his money. If he's merachim on his money, he needs a psychiatrist. Understand? Chos is what you use, or chemla. Chemla can also, because the Pasuk by Shaul says that when he came back from the battle with Amalek, by Yachmol, Shaul v'ha'am, Shaul and the people had chemla on Agag and the finest of the cattle. What's the difference, the Malbim has, between chemla and chusa? So he says the difference is the following. Chus is an emotion. It's a feeling. Chemla is an intellectual position. In other words, intellectually, I have difficulty seeing why such and such person should be put to death. Intellectually, I can't see why these cattle should be wiped out. The one who's chus, you know, we are emotions. There are certain things that emotionally have tremendous impact on us. It's very difficult to see a human being or even an animal being put to death. But chemla always is intellectual. And therefore Hashem is telling Shaul when he goes out, when he's commanded to go to destroy Amalek, Lo tachmo, don't give in to your intellectual ideology that it's not right to put a people to death, you know? As the Gemara says, and I didn't say it yesterday, the Gemara says that when Shaul decided that, you know, you cannot put Agag to death, out came a voice from heaven that said, Al tizdak harbe, don't be such a grise tzaddik, give me a break. The Rebbein Shem knows how to say, give me a break. Al tizdak harbe. Ish el echo ochiv lo yachmolu, that's an intellectual position. In other words, there are going to be such divisions in Yisrael, and the divisions are going to be so-called of an intellectual nature.
Ideological.
Ideological. That's precisely the word. Ideological. What are you talking about? Because you're sitting in Bethel, I can't have peace in Ramat Aviv Gimel. That's an intellectual position. I mean, I only use that for lack of a better example. Ish, that's the most dangerous of all. Because if intellectually you have convinced yourself that that person is not worthy of pity, oh God, there's no way you're going to go back from that. Which means that there's going to be strife that is going to tear apart the fabric of the 10 tribes. All right? End of chapter 9. You see the last pasuk, Menashe et Ephraim, Ephraim et Menashe. There are going to be the intellectual struggles that are going to become battles on the ground. Ephraim will be against Menashe, Menashe will be against Ephraim. And remember, Ephraim and Menashe are real brothers. Same father, same mother, and both of them are going to be against Yehuda. And that inner strife is also a punishment that the Rebbein Shem is going to bring upon them. Even after all of that punishment, in other words, punishment against Ritzin Melech Aram is the first ketah. The second ketah is the destruction of leadership by the Jewish people because they have misled the people. We know exactly what that means. Number three is when there are divisions within the people, that's further going to cause an implosion from within. And then comes the fourth. The fourth is the beginning of chapter 9. Hoy hachokikim chikikei oven umichatvim omol ki table 10. I said 9. What's happening to me? Queenie, you have to organize me. I got paper on the brain. The fourth begins with the word hoy. The word hoy, of course, always means oivei. This is the worst of all. And this is amazing. You have to see what the Rebbein Shem considers the worst of all. Hoy hachokikim chikikei oven. Woe to those who pass. Chokikim, by the way, the real meaning of chokikim is they used to write by engraving. Writing was engraving. They wrote, chokikim means they wrote, chikikei oven, laws of sinfulness. Their laws, their bedin gavoa la tzedek, was a volcano of e tzedek, injustice. Chikikei oven, laws that are sinful. Umichatvin, and those who wrote letters, and the ones who write the letters are the judges who tell their scribes what to write. Omol kitevu, they wrote letters that were sinful. What are they referring to? I mean, so of course I can understand that there are laws that have been passed, and we know that.
We're in a civics class.
Huh?
Current history.
Yes, Mamash, we're talking about laws that are passed that are simply laws of evil. There are laws of evil that are passed by our high court. You understand? I mean, and there are letters. Anybody who reads the letters that have been sent around, that everybody's sending personal letters in labor. Everybody's sending personal letters, and so amazing how these letters get to the press. there's a certain miracle, and the letters are full of such hate against one another. I mean, it's unbelievable that people would write such things. In other words, people who a week ago were working hand in hand, side by side, buddy, buddy, are now attacking each other. It's unbelievable. I tell you, it's a nitzugleben what they're saying about each other. These are omol ki tevu, but he's talking mainly about the system of judges, that it has collapsed. There's no justice. A society that is without justice cannot survive. And what does this society do? What do these justices do? Lahatot mi din dalim, to bend the law against the poor, v'ligzol, and to steal mishpat aniye ami, the judgment of the penurious of my people. Law should be concerned not with the stronger parts of society, but with the weaker. While there's all sorts of money for everything, there are still what, the 750,000 or 1,000,000 people that are below the Kav Ha'oni, and they're concerned about all sorts of things and not the well-being and the welfare of the people. The poor are lost completely in the shovel. I can't help but I tell you, if there was chemlo chus v'rachim, a number of times I drove by the Prime Minister's office when the Nechim, people in wheelchairs, you were there? 3 weeks they were demonstrating over there and he would not see them. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I would have thought that any Prime Minister, the first day that he sees one person in a wheelchair outside, you know, maybe crazy. Huh? I'm not in reality. They don't care. Unbelievable. You should not make me sick. I drove by a number of times, and at the times there were hundreds. There were hundreds out there. How many months were the doctors on strike?
3 months.
It's unbelievable.
Today.
Oh, today fun school with the high school teachers.
Yep.
Okay.
And junior high.
That's what the Navi is talking about. You deal with everything else. In other words, everybody was busy flying around the world trying to find a Palestinian who will take Yehuda Vishamron off their hands.
Right.
And here the Nechim and the Rofim, you understand? This is what Yeshayahu would have said. Lahatot v'din dalim v'ligzol mishpat aniye ami lihyot almanot shlalam. That the widow is their spoil. Because they're weak. What political power do people in wheelchairs have? How many are there? Right?
They have
no political power.
Yes, we're trying.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Not at all. Get together with the Gimlaim. You understand? The
in America, the AARP,
the AARP has become very strong, and thank God, as medicine gets better, there's more there are more RPs, more RPs around. Retired pensioners, you should know that in my schools, my wife and I can get in free of charge to every national park in the United States of America. How do you like that? You still have the card, you pay once, $10 for a card, and La'olam v'ed, we have a lot of national parks to see.
I never used to go to
that you can get at the park entrance. At any park entrance. Well, I think we have AARP
too. After the demonstrations, I signed the agreement, the leader of the disabled people who were out there for so many weeks, Barack went and he shook everyone's hand, and of course the woman didn't shake her hand. He kissed her on the cheek, and then on national TV, he wiped his mouth.
This is the fourth level. Lihyot almanot shlalam. And when they use the widow, it doesn't mean only widows. It means anyone who is weak politically, economically, that yitomim yavozu, and they steal, they prey on the orphan. And here the Navi asks, umatasu liyom pikuda. What are you going to do on the day? It means also the day of remembrance, the day on which all of this is going to be remembered. Because pakod has two meanings, has many meanings, we said. Lifkod. Ulishoah. This is one of the few places where the word shoah appears in Tanakh, appears in Mishlei a number of times. Ulishoah mi merchak tavo. What are you going to do on the day that the shoah? And Rashi says, Lashon Khurban. What are you going to do when the destruction is going to come from afar? In other words, it's going to come down upon you. You won't even imagine that it's happening. And who is he now referring to? He's now leading us in, historically, to the rise of the kingdom of Ashur. Assyria is going to come. Amita Nusula Ezra. Who are you going to run to for help? In other words, When the poor and the weak came to you for help, they didn't get help. So what do you think? You're going to be helped when you need it? I mean, it's so powerful. To whom are you going to run? Where are you going to leave your honor? In other words, kvodchem over here means not only honor, it means power, it means all the wealth. All of the wealth that you gathered on the backs of the weak. What are you going to do with it all? You're not going to take it along with you into exile. It's all over. Bilti kora tachat asir v'tachat harugim yipolu. And the fourth time the refrain, b'chol zot lo shav apo v'od yado netuya. Bilti kora tachat asir. The word tachat over here, as in a number of places, the word tachat means not in place of, but place. Bilti korah, a place where you never bent down. To korah means, you know, sort of to, what do you do with sheep? What do sheep, when they lie down in pasture? Bilti korah, in a place where you never sat down, a place where you never were. Asir, you're going to be... you're going to be imprisoned there. The golah, the gullus that you're going to go out to, is going to be a place you never were. V'tachat. And in the place that you are, harugim yipolu, people who are killed will fall. And that's because you simply didn't hear the cries of pain of the indigent, of the weak, of the infirm. That is the worst. You understand? There's a message that's being sent over here. Leadership was bad and all of that. But when you start up with the weak, that's the worst. We quoted a number of times the pasuk in Mishpatim, where it says, "Lo tanun almana v'yatom." Don't cause any pain to the almana or to the yatom. Ki yitzak elai. When they cry out unto me, I'm going to hear their cries. I think I quoted last week the Ramban. The Ramban says, the tragic mistake of somebody who benefits from the weak, or who attacks the weak, is because he thinks that he can do it. Why does he do it? Because he thinks they're weak. The Ramban says, the terrible, tragic mistake is, they are the strongest of all. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them. Those who are not so weak always will look at that. They're going to run to a lawyer, they're going to run to another country, they're going to find somebody who's going to help them, you're going to have some protection. And the ones who have no protection have the greatest protector in the world. Ki shamoa eshma tzakato, I will hear it. And now, after the fourth, where it means already that Aram has fallen, Yisrael has fallen, who's the one? Who's going to be God's agent? Hey, whoa. Ashur, Shevet Afi. Ashur is the staff of my anger. The stick with which I'm going to express my anger. Umatehu biyadom zami matehu. He is the stick. He's the stick that I'm going to bring punishment with. Biyadom, in their hands, is zami, is my wrath. In other words, don't think that Ashur has succeeded and will succeed on the field of battle because Ashur is a mighty force. No! He's going to succeed on the field of battle because he's my agent, Hashem says. I'm going to send him against a sinning people. Upon the nation that I want to bring my wrath about, I want to bring it out on Atzavenu, I will command him. Ashur is going to do my work. Lishlol shalol, to spoil, belovos, baz, and to, what do they use for lovos? I always have to find shalol. One of them is spoil, and the other is loot. Belovos, or prey, belovos, baz. Ulsumo mirmas kechomer chutzot. And you know what he's going to do with the ones whom he comes against? He's going to make them something you trample on, like the dust out in the street. But listen, there are beautiful psukim here. The psukim are absolutely gorgeous. All psukim are gorgeous, but some psukim are more gorgeous. V'hu lo chen yidameh, but he doesn't think so. Ashur doesn't think so. Ulevavo lo chen yachshov, his heart doesn't think so. Ki lahashmid bilevavo, in his heart he wants to destroy. Ulahachrid goyim, he wants to cut out nations, lo ma'at, not a few, many. Now, God sends him as the staff of his anger to punish, but never to destroy. Never to destroy. But that's not what he thinks. Ashur has his own agenda, and his own agenda is destruction. Ki yomar, because you know what Ashur says? Halo sora yachdov melachim. My offices, I don't have stam offices. All of my offices are like kings. I have a mighty army. Halo kikakimish kalno. The great victory of the first great victory of Ashur was the Battle of Karkemish. You know, there are famous battles in history. One of the famous battles in the ancient world was the battle where Ashur destroys Aram at Karkemish. So now they've become all intoxicated with their greatness and their power. So you know, the Navi is now quoting what it is that goes on in the heart and the mind of Ashur. Karkemish, Kalno. Kalno is going to be just like Karkemish. Just like we crushed the forces of Karkemish, we're going to do the same thing at Kalno. In low Karpad, Hamas. Hamas is not going to be like Arpad. Arpad was a place also where they had a great victory. The Battle of Arpad. Hamas is going to be the same thing. In low Kidamesek, Shomron. You think Shomron is not going to be like Damesek? This is where we're coming down to the two groups that we're talking about. Damesek is Ritzin Melech Aram, and afterward is going to come Shomron, the capital of the 10 tribes. Just like I destroyed Karkemish, I will be victorious at Kalno. And just what I did at Arpad, I will do at Hamat, and what I did at Damesek, I'm going to do at Shomron. Kasher Motz'o Yadi, as my hand found, my hand achieved and accomplished, Limamlechot ha'elil, the kingdoms of the false deities. In other words, he sees any Aveda Zarah aside from his own as being an elil. Upsilehem, and their statues. Mirushalayim v'mishamran, I'm going to take them all away. There are no gods over there. They're certainly not greater than my God. So therefore, I'm going to destroy the gods and the statues of Yerushalayim and Shomron. Hallo, kasher asiti leShomron veleElileha. What I did to Shomron and to her deities, kein eesel leYerushalayim v'la'atzabeha. So I will do to Yerushalayim and her graven images. Atzabim are graven images. And he doesn't know yet, of course, that his great defeat is going to take place at the gates of Yerushalayim. But he looks at them all as though they are false gods, and he's going to crush them and bring them down. Yes? Yeah, I know it's a question. You raised your hand. I said yes. But what did I think you were doing? You make a political speech?
Yeah.
That's why I'm here, and that's why you're asking me. Yes?
Hashem criticizes the leadership and all of
That's the tragedy of war. The tragedy of war is that the innocent, the evil bring down the innocent with them. We see that all the time. Taire, taire neshamas have been killed on the roads of Eretz Yisrael in the last few months. The taires of the taire. Who brought it about? I mean, a government that had lost its way completely. That's right. Unfortunately, if we would believe that there's only this world, then we'd have a serious problem. But that's why we have to believe that there's a world to come, and the Ramesh there is going to make all these things up to. What does it say by Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim Jews had to put blood on their doorposts so the Mashris, the destroyer, cannot come into the house. Why? Because Kivin Shanitin Rishus Lamashkas, the Gemara says, when permission is granted for the destroyer to destroy, Eino Machin Bein Tzadik L'Rasha. He does not differentiate between Tzadik and Rasha. But remember, the fact is that if there would be one battle, and every Yosem and Almana, and every downtrodden person would be saved, and all the rest would be killed, all free will would end as of that moment. You'd see before your very eyes. So it's all over. But war as in war, in the natural order of things as in the natural order of things, there are the innocent that are going to fall because of the wicked. Always happens. Otherwise it would be all over. We can just shut the world up and forget about it all. Because you'd see clearly, there it is. 10 people are lined up. The Yosemim and Almanas, for some strange reason, are not killed, and the others are. Can't be. Vahaya, let's go further. Ki yivatza Hashem et kol ma'aseihu. Here you have the word yivatza as it is used in modern Hebrew. Levatzea means to carry out something. Somebody who's good administratively is a bitzuist. Isn't that what they call him? Vahaya ki yivatza Hashem et kol ma'aseihu. When God is going to do all of his deeds. In other words, God wants to punish, but when that's going to be over, he's going to turn his anger and wrath against Ashur. Ashur, who was the staff, the stick that God used in order to bring punishment, then it's going to be Ashur's turn. Why will it be Ashur's turn? Because Ashur does not think he's doing the Holokein Yashov. He doesn't think like that. Bilabavo, he doesn't think. Oh no, he wants to destroy. So therefore it will come to pass, Ki Yivatza Hashem et kol ma'aseihu, when God is going to complete what he wants to do. B'har Tzion u'Yerushalayim. Et God, I will remember and I will punish, al pri godel levav melech Ashur. The pri godel means the growing, the fruit of greatness of the heart of the king of Ashur. What he's talking about is the abundance of his conceit. And on the majesty of his uplifted eyes. In other words, he sees everything in terms of himself. He sees himself as being the mighty force. what is, and the pasuk explains, what is it that Hashem says about Asher? Ki Amar, because he said, Asher said, Bekoach Yodi Asisi, I did this all with the strength of my hand, Uvechachmati, and with my wisdom, Ki Yivunoti, because I have profound understanding. Here I think it comes one of the amazing bituyim expressions. What did Asher say? Va'asir givulot amim. I will remove the boundaries of nations. He will conquer so many nations there won't be boundaries anymore. Va'atudotehem shoseisi. Atudotehem means their wealth. I think it means their wealth because it's the word atid. The future. In other words, people depend on their wealth. Shoseiti, I, their wealth, I've taken. Va'orid kabir yoshvim, and I will bring down the mightiest of those who live on the face of this earth. Do you hear this is the megalomania of Ashur. By the way, have we not heard the same kind of madness from dictators? Words like this did not come out of the mouth of Stalin. They certainly came out of the mouth of Hitler. Yimach Shimon v'zichron. And Ho Chi Minh and Mao Zedong. Remove the boundaries of nations. I will bring nations down. Thank you. And all of their wealth I have taken. And I'll bring down the mighty ones. And the next pasuk is still Ashur speaking about his might. Doesn't realize that the might was given to him by a special grant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't realize. V'timtzo kakein yodi l'cheil fanim. The wealth of nations, my hand found it like a nest. You know? It was no different than just taking a nest of birds into my hand. It was like gathering together eggs that have been forsaken on the ground of that. Way. You think it was a great effort for me to conquer all of these nations? It was child's play. Kol ha'aretz ani osafti. I gathered in the whole earth. And do you know what? Here comes another beautiful expression. As I did it all, Lo hoyon no deid kanaf, nobody moved a wing, upotzer peh umitzatzeh, there was nobody who opened up a mouth to make a sound. He uses this term because in the whole chapter, in this whole passage, he's describing the nations of the world as birds. Helpless, hapless, weak, birds, eggs, nest, and therefore, nobody says a word. I was able to do it. It was simple. It was easy. Oy pasuk tezvav. The Rebbeinu Shleilam says about Asher, Hayitpa'er hagarzen al hachotzevo. Person has an axe, and with the axe he's chopping wood. Is the axe going to turn to the chopper and say, "Take a look at what I'm doing"? Im yidgadel hamasor. Al minifo, a masor is a saw. Is the masor going to turn to the one who raises the masor, and he's going to be great over him? Take a look, Mr. Sawer, what I'm able to do. Doesn't he realize, doesn't Asher realize that he's no more than a tool in the hands of God? Can the tool turn around to the one who's activating the tool and act with great gaiva? Kahanif shevet vet medimav. Can a stick that is picked up by somebody turn around and say to the one who's picking it up, "Take a look at what I've done, I've picked you up"? It's not the stick who picks up the person, it's the person who picks up the stick. Kaharim mater. Low eights. It's the one who picks up the stick that's doing the picking up. Low eights. Not the wood that's picking it up. Doesn't he realize, doesn't Asher realize that he is the staff, the axe, the saw, in my hand. I am the maf'il. I am the one who activates him. Oy, because he doesn't realize this. Because he takes a look at all of his great victories as something that he has done, and nobody has been able to stand in his way, and all of his officers are kings. Lachem, therefore, Yishalach Ha'adon Hashem Tzakot, the master. And I, not often is HaKadosh Baruch Hu described as Adon. I think he's described as Adon over here in order to tell Ashur who's the real master. Ha'adon Hashem Tzakot is going to send B'nishmanav in his fatness, Razon, thin. Now, fatness represents the great powerful force, and that great powerful mighty force is going to be reduced drastically. What's going to happen? What do you think? What's going to happen around the walls of Yerushalayim, the mighty force of Ashur? 185,000 men is going to dwindle in a matter of moments to 10, 15. Mishvanavros, the tachat kivodo. Here the word tachat also means the place of his honor. Yekad, yekod, ki yekod, esh. They will burn a burning like the burning of fire. Chazal, we may yet see there's a whole Gemara on Masechta Sanhedrin. Masechta Sanhedrin deals with this chapter, where it says that the punishment of Ashur was Sreifat Neshama V'Guf Kayam. There was a fire that consumed their lives from the inside, but outside, not. And the reason the Chazal say, because Ashur was from the children of shame. Shame are the ones who covered the shame of their father Noach. So therefore their garments were not consumed, but the body from within. In other words, there's an inner flame that burned and consumed them. V'hoya or Yisrael la'esh. Do you know what that fire is going to be? That fire is going to be the light of Israel is fire. Rashi says, HaTorah sha'oseg bo Chizkiyahu. Do you know what's going to destroy Ashur? The Torah that Chizkiyahu studies. The Torah of Chizkiyahu is going to be the Or Yisrael, the light of Israel. The Torah is going to be fire. U'kidosho lehava. Kidosho, Rashi says, Tupshatim. Kidosho, the Holy One of Israel. If you remember already from a year and a half ago, Kidosh Yisrael is the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself when he comes to the aid of Israel. Kedosho here can also mean the Tzaddiki Hador. You know what they're going to be? They're going to be Lilehava. They're going to be a flame. Ubara, it will burn. V'achla, and it will consume. Shito u'shmiro b'yom echad. The thorns and the thistles in one day. That's what's going to happen to the greatness of Ashur. Ashur is going to be brought down to its knees in one great act and one great day. Quote, Ya'aro v'charmilo. Yar is a forest. Carmel, Ya'aro v'charmilo, his forest and his vegetation. Minetesh v'ad boso yuchale. Soul unto flesh will be consumed. V'hayot kimesos no seis. A termite? Anybody have the English here? A noses is a tolat, a worm that eats wood. Is it a termite that eats wood?
Yes.
And all it leaves over at the end, shtickle sawdust. Kimisos noses, nothing is going to be left of Asher. Nothing is going to be left. Ushar eats, and remember, since we referred to the mighty great forces of Ashur as a forest, so Ushar eats Ya'aro, the leftover of the trees in his forest, Mispor Yihyu, will be a small number. V'na'ar Yichtevein, a child will be able to write the number. According to the Pesukim, it may be no more than 10. A minion remained out of 185,000. The great forest was consumed. And I'm sure that he's described as a forest because Torah is kiner mitzvah the Torah Or is the Pasuk in Mishle. Therefore, in Pasuk Yitzayim, when it says Or Yisrael Eish, what is the Or Yisrael? Or Yisrael is Torah. Ukedosho is either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the Tzaddiki Hador. They're going to be the flame. And the flame consumes the wood. That's why he's described as wood. What a description. Bahoyana will come to pass by Yom Ahu. I'm going to move ahead over here. Bahoyana by Yom Ahu. And this is the kind of chapter where you have to get into the flow of the psukim. Bahoyana by Yom Ahu. And it will come to pass on that day. Lo Yosef od Shor Yisrael upleitab Beit Yaakov lihishoein al makehu v'nisham al Hashem kedosh Yisrael be'emet. What a beautiful pasuk. And it will come to pass on that day the remnant of Israel and the refugees of the house of Jacob will no longer depend al makehu on the one who smote them. And I'd say there are two meanings to this. Who was Klal Yisrael? Who were they turning to assist them in their moment of crisis? Yehuda, there were those in Yehuda who turned to Mitzrayim. Now Mitzrayim is going to be, you know, Mubarak is the good friend. You can depend on him. All right? Okay. You know how the Navi describes Mitzrayim? Makehu, the one who hit him. You were beaten in Mitzrayim, you understand? Lo Yosef, Klal Yisrael is not no longer going to lean on Makehu, on the one who really hits him. Who hit him in the past and will stab him in the back again in the future. That's who you go to for aid and assistance. And you know who they will lean on? V'nishan al Hashem kedosh Yisrael be'emet. They are going to lean on God, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. How many times have we explained that kedosh Yisrael means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the aid and the assistance of the Jewish people? Shor Yashuv, the remnant will return. Shor Yaakov, the remnant of Yaakov. And you know who they're going to return to? El Keil Gibor, to a God who's truly mighty. Ki im amcha Yisrael kechol hayam, Shor Yashuv. Though your people will be many, unfortunately, those that will return are going to be a remnant. Sh'or, the leftover, the remnant will return. Ki loyon chorut shotei tzedakah. Because during the course of the period of suffering and punishment, there is a decisive destruction. Ki lo yon chorutz shotei tzedakah. That destruction is righteous. It's charitable. Charitable by virtue of the fact that never you earned it, and charitable in the fact that Klal Yisrael will survive. There will never be a threat. An existential threat to the people of Israel. They will always survive. It may look to themselves and to the world as though it's all over, but every threat no threat will ever be an absolutely existential threat to the Jewish people. Because a decisive destruction is going to do in the midst of all of the land, and that's because of the sins there. What can you do? No mishpat yatom, ger v'almana, leadership that had become corrupt to the very top or to the very bottom. Corruption. I would have thought, I was naive. Last week I was very naive. I thought that all of the parties with the right are going to come together and they're going to say, Sharon, the well-being of the country demands that we have a government. We don't care what tick you're going to give us. Makes absolutely no difference. We couldn't care less. The important thing is the well-being of Klal Yisrael and Am Yisrael. Tick-tock, who cares? I was naive. Then, of course, I would have thought that labor, beaten and crushed, would make no demands, whatever crumbs have on. No, they have demands yet to the bargain. They have demands, yeah. That's right. We're not going to sit on government for this. We're not going to say. Sharon doesn't even say a word of lach from Zayahu. I don't know what that had to do with Yeshayahu. Very good. I was going to make the comment before, and I forgot, and I'm very happy that you said that, because we had learned two chapters earlier that Hashem says your children are going to be otot, they're going to be signs for the Jewish people. One of them is Shor Yashuv, and the other is Maher Shalal Choshbaz. So he said, yes, Shor Yashuv, the remnant will return. And what's going to happen to the enemies of Israel? Shalom and Baz. Very good. I'll take you next Friday, Wednesday again. Very good. Okay. Therefore, so says God, the God of hosts, Al Tira Ami Yoshev Tzion Mei Ashur. Here, Yeshayahu is mamish spelling it out. Imagine we are in a city now surrounded by Ashur. All of Eretz Yisrael has fallen before Ashur. 10 times 80% of Klal Yisrael have been taken to exile. And Yeshayahu is walking through the streets of a city in siege, and he says that Al Tira Ami Yoshev Tzion Ashur, don't be afraid, my people who live in Tzion, don't be afraid of Ashur. Bashevet Yakeka Umatehu Yisa Olecha Bederech Mitzrayim. He will strike you. He will strike you with a stick. Umatehu Yisa Olecha, and he's going to lift his staff against you in the same way that Egypt did. In other words, he's going to threaten. Remember, we learned last year, chapters 36 and 37, how the officers of the king of Ashur stand outside the gates of Yerushalayim and blaspheme God. Who is the God of Israel? My king has destroyed the gods of so many nations. Is he any better? Is the God of Israel any better than all the gods of all of the other nations? He's gonna lift the stick against you. Kiot ma'at mizor, just a little bit. Mizor is small, a little small, just a very brief period of time. V'cholozam va'api al tavlitam. My wrath and my anger will go out al tavlitam. Tavlitam is an interesting word. It means their curses and their blasphemy. Remember there in chapters 36, 37, after they had heard the words of the messenger of Ashur, the officers of King Chizkiyo tore their garments, and they came to Chizkiyo with torn garments because they had heard Birchat Hashem, they had heard people blaspheming and cursing God. Who is he? He's no different than all of the other deities. This is a blasphemy of God. So they, when you hear Birchat Hashem, the halach is supposed to tear kriya, and they come to Chizkiyo. Tevel is a word in Chumash that means something that's ugly. When it talks about some of the prohibited marriages, so it says tevel hu zimahu, meaning that this is something ugly, nibul peh, filthy, filthy words. Oh, but you know what's going to happen? For Oreir Olav Hashem Tzvakot showed God is going to awaken and arouse over them a shout. You know what a shout? A shout is a whip, not stam a stick. Shout, kemakat midyan b'tzur orev, like that which destroyed the blow against Midyan at tzur orev, umatei walayam, and it's going to be like the staff that was lifted over the sea, undesa'o b'derech Mitzrayim, and he's going to lift it and remove them the way he had removed Mitzrayim. Makas Midyan Betzur Orev was one of the battles that was fought by Gideon, where he destroyed Midyan at a place called Tzur Orev. V'hoya b'yomahu, and when it'll come to pass on that day, Yosur Suvalo Me'al Shichmecho, God is going to remove the Sevel, the suffering of Ashur, from upon your shoulders. V'ulo, and his yoke, Me'al Tavorecha, from upon your neck. V'chubal ol mipnei shomen, the chubal ol, the yoke of the oil of the neck is going to
destroy the oil
of the neck is going to destroy the ol. One is a Hebrew word, one is an English word. No, it's something that means. No, we're talking about God removing the yoke of Ashur from upon the Jewish people. So to look at it, three different ways it's described. Subalo means the burden. Sabal me'al shechmecha, from the shoulders. V'ulo me'al savarecha. V'chubal ol mipnei shomen. You know, in a sense, it's the neck, or the oil of the neck is going to destroy the oil. Don't get my oil and my oil mixed up. The shemen, the oil of the neck and oil, this is an expression that means that we are going to throw off the burden and the yoke of Ashur. Now I must say, the next few psukim. Have I said this a great deal today? They're so beautiful. The next few psukim, Yeshayahu is going to describe the march of Ashur toward Yerushalayim. What a march! He is destroying and capturing everything in his way. Alayat, he comes to a city Ayat. Ovar b'Migron, he crosses to Migron. L'michmas, we know where it is, right? Michmas is already immediately north of Neve Yaakov. In other words, there already he begins to leave his supplies. Ovru Mabara, they pass Mabara. Geva, Malomanu, there is the city of Geva in the land of Binyamin. That's where we're going to stay overnight. Chordo HaRoma. Ah, Roma was the city in the land of Binyamin. Remember, we're talking about the land of Binyamin, that's where Shmuel was. Ramatayim Tzofim, Rama. Givat Shaul Nasa. And the people of Givat Shaul have already fled before the onslaught of the coming army. By the way, the end of the Haftorah this week, and as we pointed out, since next week in Yerushalayim we're going to read the same Haftorah. You weren't here yesterday. You weren't in Shul last night. The shir yesterday was on the Haftorah of this coming Shabbos. And the only time in history that the same Haftorah is read 2 weeks in a row is here in Yerushalayim. We're going to read the Haftorah of Shmuel telling Shaul to destroy Amalek this Shabbos, because it's Zachar, and in the rest of the world, while they're going to be reading the Haftorah for Parsha Tetzaveh next week, we're going to read the same Haftorah over again in Yerushalayim. How do you like that? And the end of the Haftorah is, the last pasuk is, Shmuel went to Ramah, and Shaul went to Givat Shaul. Now the Givat Shaul of the pasuk is not Givat Shaul next to, between Kiryat Moshe and Har Nof, but what the city of Shaul was called Givat Shaul. So do you know what he's done with these two psukim? He's described the swift march of the forces of Ashur. They're on the way to Yerushalayim. Everything is falling before them. Tzahali kolech bad galim, hakshivi laisha, amia anatot. Tzahali kolech means lift your voice, bad galim. Bad galim is the name of the place. Lift your voice, warn people to leave. Hakshivi laisha, laish. Listen carefully to the thunder of hoofs. I just threw in the thunder of hoofs. That doesn't appear in the passage. Just listen. Ania anasos. Anatot is Anta. Or Anta, the Arab village. Anta is on the place of Anatot. Who came from Anatot? Yirmiyahu. He was Tekoa. I think Amos was when I knocked him with Tekoa. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But Yirmiyahu was Anatot. So Anatot, it can mean a number of things. In other words, they should respond to the voices that are coming, and they should leave. Nodedom Madmena, the people of Madmena have departed. You know, Navanat, they've begun to wander. Oh, the beauty over here is not only the names of the cities coming one after another, most of them we know precisely where they are, but more than that, the term that he uses for each city rhymes with the city. Nodedom Madmena. Hakshivi Laisha Ania Anatod. Understand? Yoshvei Hagavim, those who live in Gavim, Heizu, gather in together. And Heizu, most probably the very well means Heizu, gather in, get into Yerushalayim, within the walls of the city to be safe. Lama days. This happens to be the beginning of the Haftorah for the eighth day of Pesach. We don't have an eighth day of Pesach, so in our generation, this is read on Yom Ha'atzmah Ud. Ud Hayom, this is Sancheriv, King of Asher, speaking now. They've just marched through all of these cities, you understand? Wow, we have to count up how many cities. We'll talk about the cities. Od Hayom Benov Lamod. Today we're going to make it by daylight. We're still going to make it to Nov. Nov is, by the way, Nov, the city of Kohan in Nov. It's near where? Ramat Hashkol is Nov? Ramat Hashkol is Nov. Or Givat Zarfatit, that area, that's Nov. There's a Yishuv Nov. No, not this one. This is Nov Ir HaKohan and Nebuch, the city that Shaul destroyed. Nov has to be very near to Yerushalayim. Yes? That's it. French Hill, Hamat Eshkol. Od Hayom B'Nov Lamod. King of Asher says, today we're going to be in Nov. You know, faith Yato. This is the... He waves his hand on Har Bat Zion, the mountain of Bat Zion, Givat Yerushalayim, the hill of Yerushalayim. And do you know what the hand is? In Yiddish they say it best. Avegemacht mit der Hand. He takes a look, and the Gemara says that he's standing in Nov, and he looks down and he sees Yerushalayim. This is the great prize? This is the great city? This is what they've been telling me about. Like, this is going to be my great battle. You know, faith, you know. Get out. The Gemara explains that his astrologist told him, destroy Yerushalayim today. If you're going to wait to tomorrow, you won't succeed. And you know, faith, you know. At Avegemacht mit der Hand, also to his astrologers, what that little Yerushalayim over there, that's going to stand in my way. He has destroyed mightier capital cities. Oh, so Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet, those are the two psukim that are going to describe the destruction of Ashur as he stands at the gates of Yerushalayim. What magnificent psukim. We'll do that next week. And then, of course, chapter Yud Aleph is one of the most magnificent chapters of them all, the chapter of Mashiach. We're going to have to learn some Gemaras with this.